Hey everybody, welcome to this week's episode of Whiskey Neat, spirited conversations with interesting people. I am your host, Christopher Hart. Now this week, we're doing a Swapcast. Swapcast is an old, I don't see it used anymore, but it used to be where like two shows, you know, someone would do someone else's show, and then they would take that episode and air it on both, both of the respective shows. And so we did that. So a little over a month ago, I went to Kentucky. There's a law firm in California, and now they're actually in Texas as well, called Simon Law Group. Simon Law Group has a show called Bourbon of Proof, a little play on burden of proof. It's a law thing, you know. And he's got an incredible production set up. We filmed at the Omni Hotel in Louisville. And, you know, it's funny. We actually – I take – sips throughout the episodes, and I have to pace myself, because if we're filming one or two in a row, or if we're drinking a lot, then what happens is I start slurring my words, my mouth gets numb, start speaking in cursive, and so I've learned over the last 4 years to pace myself. In Louisville, we shot four episodes back to back from like 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. and Bob's big on like finishing the shot, then moving on to the next thing. And I it was a rude awakening for me, just trying to keep my composure. Things went well. We did three interviews. I was color commentary. Four interviews. I was color commentary on three of them, and one of them involves a friend of mine, Gene Nassif. Gene owns Cat Eye Distillery. And he gave me this product. This is a bottle of 26-year-old Canadian whiskey that is 151 proof, 75.5%. And boy, oh boy, is this thing hot. I've known Gene for a long time, but we finally got to meet together on Bob's show. So go check out Bourbon of Proof. This week's episode is my interview on that show. A lot of the questions I'm sure you guys have heard over the years. The story of how I got into it, my recent shoe fetish. The whole thing was just a really great experience, and I can't thank Bob enough. So before we get into the show, let's pay the bills real quick. We still have to pay our bills. If you're familiar with the concept of terroir and wine, you'll appreciate Mark Rainier's Waterford Single Malt Irish Whiskey from Ireland. Mark is combining Scotch. I'll be sitting down with Mark soon, but we talk about it every week. Just a long history of Scotch whiskey and fine. I mean, the guy is just a madman of genius when it comes to what Waterford's doing. So this week, like every week, is sponsored by Waterford Whiskey. Every bottle has the complete breakdown of where the grains are from. There's a terroir code that you can go look up online, and it'll tell you everything that the bottle and box doesn't, which isn't. I mean, there's so much information on the box itself. Single grain, single farm, single origin, single season sometimes. I mean, it's incredible what they've done. Go check that out. That's glassrev.com/Waterford. Of course, just Google Waterford single malt whiskey. And I know Total Wine's got quite a bit of it. We just picked up a couple while we were there. Without further ado, please welcome Bob Simon. Cheers.
Chris, thanks for coming on, man.
Thanks for having me. This is exciting. I've been admiring your production quality for months. It's insane. And so happy to be here with you.
Yeah, man. So tell everybody about your show, because you do some really cool fucking shit.
Yeah, so I host a show on ESPN in Houston called Whiskey Neat. We sit down with guests over drinks. It's funny, when I talked to Teresa, who by the way is incredible.
Oh yeah, she's the best.
Incredible. I was telling her, she didn't know who I was, and I didn't know the whole backstory of your crew. And she's like, Bourbon of Proof is like Hot Ones, but with booze. And I was like, that's what my idea was. So yeah, I sit down with actors, celebrities, comedians, guests, and just kind of try to break the ice through drinks. If there's something fascinating, the tagline of the show is spirited conversations with interesting people.
Nice.
So, and you're one of those people.
Yeah, yeah. So first of all, tell us what you brought, because let's start pouring in the limited time we have.
I'm with you. Let's do it. All right. So we brought a few things. So I know that you're a bourbon head. Yep. We brought our Prideful Goat Batch 4, which is coming out in a couple of weeks in Texas. It'll also hit California, Louisiana, and Florida. It's a 15-year-old Kentucky bourbon. A classic shiny example of like just fantastic Kentucky bourbon. I also brought some Bardstown Bourbon Company. I saw it at the airport, and I like to dive into their expressions quite a bit. I don't know if you, I know that you guys went and visited them. So one of the buses went to Bardstown.
Yeah, I didn't get to do that one. I wish I did.
We also brought the single barrel from this year's Whiskey Social, Four Roses, a little Whiskey Peach.
So these are your barrel select ones.
Yeah, 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 yeah. So cool. There's the Whiskey Peach on the side of the bottle there. Single barrel.
So why do you whiskey without the E? Whiskey Pete.
So my first love was Scotch, right? And believe it or
not, I'm a purebred. I'm straight, you know, bourbon.
So. All right, so let me purebred this guy. let me go ahead and give you a little secret. All of our laws in America, all of them, spell it without the E.
Really?
In fact, some of your most classic bourbons spell it without the E. Maker's Mark, Old Forester. There's a whole slew who don't actually spell it with the E, but there's this thing that gets kind of passed around from early on that says, oh, Americans with the E, or Irish with the E, Americans with the E, and then, you know, Scots without the E.
See, I didn't know that. Look at this education.
There's actually no fundamental legal difference in the spellings whatsoever for American whiskey.
Yeah.
And then I brought you a single barrel pick of Elijah Craig. Those are incredible. And then I brought you something that is not whiskey. So Gregarious Grump is an independent bottling line we do. We've got single barrel rum, single barrel cognacs, or not single barrel cognacs, but small batch cognacs. This is a 21-year-old Grand Champagne cognac.
Oh man.
It's essentially...
I like this name too, Gregarious Grump.
Gregarious Grump, yeah, it's a silly name. It's a reference to the online Facebook world. But it's whiskey made with grapes. Like it's just distilled grapes. It's fantastic. So I thought we could kind of dive into it. And I know we've got limited on time, so you can, let's pick two.
And oh, then, well, you know which two I'm gonna pick, right?
And then I have a secret one.
Oh fuck.
That's not on the table for Bob.
That is we it have, Fireball? That we have is to, it Fireball?
No, it's not.
That'd be awesome.
We have to end with this last one, okay. the mystery one. So go ahead and, you know.
Well, I have never had, because it's not in California yet, the Prideful Goat, which is
let's do it.
Your stuff, and I'm very excited about it. Well. Is it rude to pour somebody else's whiskey?
No. Please break the seal.
I thought we were gonna hear like some other interesting story about that. So you're based in Houston, yeah?
Based in Houston, born and raised, no accent, so I'm told. I think most people assume that if you're from Texas, you have to have some sort of.
Yeah, my buddy Evan has an accent from. Well, let's do this.
My Evan or a different Evan?
Your Evan.
Yeah. He does have a little bit of a...
He does.
All
maybe
right.
It's just his high energy.
Cheers, like buddy. Accent. So you... Ooh,
man.
You've built an empire, bud.
Yeah.
You guys just opened law offices in Texas as well?
Mm-hmm.
The Simon Law Group. This perception...
Oh, this is really good.
Yeah, I'm really proud of it.
Mmm. No burn. What's the proof on this? This is.
It's really... cast strength, too, so...
Oh, boy. You're an animal. 114 proof, my man.
Yeah, so we, I think there's this perception of law of lawyers as being these old curmudgeon-y, you know.
Some are.
Meanies. But, I mean, from stories of being robbed at gunpoint last night and some of the things you've seen, I feel like you guys have changed this perception, at least from California's side, and it'll happen in Texas too, but there's this perception so that you're human and normal.
So remember, like I remember hearing as a kid grew up in Pittsburgh, they always said like fashion trends start west and it kind of moves across the country. And I think it's kind of the same with law. Like it's, we're like, fuck it. We're just going to do stuff completely different. Be more chill about it. Be more human about it. Humanize lawyers and just make it who clients want to see in themselves. And now it's kind of moving west. I mean, Texas, like I see it in other states as you're coming across people. I mean, I take depositions in shorts and a t-shirt, like, why not? Who the fuck cares? Like, you're there to do a job. You don't have to be so prim and proper and asshole about everything. So
yeah, it's. I really hate to say it. We're like in this new era. Sounds a bit kitschy, but a new era of law, mm-hmm. where it does seem to be. You know, all those old jokes about lawyers being the devil. You guys seem to make it a little bit more fun.
Well, the reason that you get that is because, in my opinion, you have to pay for the oversized bloat of the overhead of law firms. So like, you gotta pay for their dumb, big, stuffy offices and their fucking gold shrine, like chairs and shit. And they're charging you $500-$600 an hour for something that, I mean, if you send an email, took 0.5 hours to do an email, come on, bro. Like, you serious? You're gonna charge for that? So I don't know. I think it's all been silly. And it's all changing.
It's. I remember the first time I walked into your offices, Evan's like, hey, man, come by the office real quick. Mm-hmm. And there was like a giant Hulk statue, yep. A bit of a comic nerd. What's your background in comics?
Oh,
like,
dude.
How did this transition? Man,
so when we grew up in Pittsburgh, you know, where there was, I was one of five, tied for the oldest of my twin brother. And so we all shared bedrooms and stuff growing up. We had one, and I think of this now, we had one bathroom between all of us growing up. So we were like on a hot timer. But my twin brother's an amazing artist. So we were all big into comics growing up, but he drew all over and painted all of our bedroom walls as kids, all the Marvel superheroes. We're big into Marvel. So I was always a big Hulk guy. So he had to do a Hulk wall for me. He was into Spider-Man. It was his favorite. They did a collage of all X-Men and everything. So when we moved our whole family out west to work for the firm after we started the Empire, right? We had to sell a family home. So my mom and dad put it up to sell. And the realtor told us, you got to paint over these walls if you want to sell this house. My dad's like, fuck that. Like, we're not painting over these walls. My sons did this in like when they were 14 years old. So the people actually bought the home because of the walls, because they had two little boys, and that's, they're still there to this day. But I always said, when I had like enough money to have my own firm, I'm gonna get a fucking Hulk statue and put it in my office. And then our Orange County office, we commissioned an artist whose name is Never, and he's awesome. He does a lot of big murals, the LeBron ones, the Kobe ones in LA. He redid our bedroom walls. In our, if you walk into Orange County Justice HQ, it's Brad's walls that he did in Pittsburgh.
Bedroom
right
walls?
There, the bedroom walls.
He recreated them?
Oh, yeah.
Picture for picture?
Picture for picture. It's awesome.
So yeah, look, I like the Marvel movies better. I'm gonna give you that. Okay. I was a DC guy.
Oh, God.
I mean, Superman originally, obviously, obviously. Green Lantern, Flash, that's where I thrived.
I could see Batman, because he's a little more nitty gritty, you know.
Sure. Well, I mean, the most Marvel in spirit and in the way that he was portrayed on in the comic books was Batman. Batman's like the closest thing to it. Everything else was kind of, you know, what do they call Superman? The, you know, boy wonder. Like, he was just like this.
Oh, hey, guys, I'm the best. Yeah, I'm invincible. I have no problems, you know.
I had a real religious...
But do you think I remember that one... did you ever watch, like, Jay and Silent Bob, those old movies? I always remember this one...
I heard
one
you talking about Righteous Gemstones earlier.
I love Righteous Gemstones. But I remember this one line where they're like... I think it was Jay says it, but he's like, can Superman even have sex, or is he, like, blowing a giant load through Lois? I remember like that as a kid here. It was like, oh, like a shotgun.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't know the answer to that.
Well, they had kids in the comic book, so apparently he can. I grew up in
a... There's an answer. There you go. Education.
Grew up in a
social here.
Super religious upbringing. And so the Marvel comic books always took it to a weird... They all look like demons and stuff. Yeah. And my aunt, I remember growing up, I came home from school one day and she had burned... there was like this scorched earth in the front yard where she had burned all of my comic books. Just the Marvel ones. So I was only allowed to have DC up to a certain point. But it was...
That's interesting.
The upbringing.
I remember there was one early series that I read as a kid, and it was the first time they introduced Carnage. I'll never forget, there was like, Carnage like just massacred these people, and they're like, why are you doing this? He's like, I'm killing you because I can. And I just don't remember seeing that and be like, as a kid, wow, man, that's fucking dark.
Yeah, well, he looks like a demon, yeah, right? Like, that was the whole thing. Did you like the movies?
Which one? The one with Carnage?
Yeah.
It sucked.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I love Woody Harrelson. That's probably the only bad movie Woody Harrelson's ever done.
I love him so much. And it was one of my great white whales. Like, if I can get an interview with him, Woody Harrelson, just to have a few drinks with Woody. I had a conversation briefly with Willie Nelson.
Oh, boy.
And they're like, he doesn't drink. He smokes cannabis. I'm like, I can't
smoke
cannabis.
Wait, Willie Nelson smokes weed?
Yeah.
That's shocking.
Yeah, I was like, they're like, he's not gonna drink with you on camera. He'll smoke with you. I'm like, I can't smoke for ESPN on camera. Like, but I would.
Yeah.
Like, if it's Willie Nelson, I would do it. You know.
Man.
So go back to the family upbringing. You guys got into law. What? Because you guys do it together. What changed?
We all do, man. I mean, nothing really changed. We've always had it, you know.
Was your dad a lawyer?
No, my dad's a truck driver. He drove for UPS for 35 years, and the day he retired, I flew out to Pittsburgh. We loaded up a U-Haul, and he came out west with us. We didn't stop, by the way. He just took turns driving and sleeping.
So the whole family's out here.
Whole family's out here. Mom, my dad, my dad's new wife. They all work at the firm, too. My brothers, my sisters, my brother-in-law. Like, they all work there.
Super family affair.
Dude, it's awesome. Like, complete trust.
Well, I follow you and your wife on Instagram. Mm-hmm. Congratulations.
Thank you. We're having third kid coming out of nowhere. We went from 0 to 100, man. We went from being like, we can never have kids. And this is like, she shares her journey, through everything, to we adopt a little girl and all of a sudden pregnant with another one. And then she just turned 40, pregnant again. We're like, what the f***, man? But, we're ready.
Something that smile on your face is killing me. I always said that if we had the money and my wife was up for it, we'd have 12 more. Your wife posted this video quoting Jordan Peterson about the age.
Oh, yeah.
There's this magic time between 1 and 4, 1 and 5. And that speaks to me so heavily because you're absolutely right. I my oldest girls are 16 and 17. Wow. I when we moved into this house, the one we're in now, they were 6.
Wait, did you start drinking because you had 3 girls?
Oh no, I started drinking because I got married. No, I'm just kidding. No, but yeah, the 3 girls, and then they just all of a sudden they're adults and they're driving and they're dating. That's a weird thing.
My dad has an amazing shotgun and shovel speech he used to tell kids when they try to pick up my sisters. Well, I want to know about these shoes. We started talking about before, because they're dope. Yeah.
Yeah, so Brendan Schaub, UFC fighter, stand-up comedian, was trying to get me into shoes. As the older you get, the more you get into new things, right? Bourbon, hobbies just start piling up.
I just got my first pair of Air Jordans this year, so I feel it, bro.
You want to pour something else?
I would love to.
Yeah,
I actually want to try the cognac, if that
is. Oh, yeah, let's do it, buddy.
I've never
had this one. So I'll pour this one. So
tell me the story of Gregorius Gump, because this is another one you guys bottle, right?
So yeah, so this is, obviously I don't, hold on a second here.
There we go. We do heavy-handed pours here too, ladies and gentlemen.
I just got that IV drip, so I'm ready to go.
Yeah, we had IV drips here. So we just did a Bourbon Proof Live where we had tours here in Louisville. That's why we're here. And we had 200 some lawyers, law adjacent folks, out on the trail, having fun. And that was yesterday. A long day, but we are champions. We got some IV drips today, and Chris was drinking beer before this episode, which I find very interesting.
Yeah, we call that a palate cleanser.
But isn't it beer before liquor never been sicker?
It's another rumor that doesn't, it's not real. It's like the idea that you can't pick blue bonnets because it's a state flower. It's not true either. There's so many things that are repeated in this, and old wives' tales that just aren't. You remember being in school, they told you, it's going on your permanent record.
Yeah.
What did that have to do with life at all? Like, that never came up.
Gotta wait an hour after swimming.
Yeah, if you chew gum, 7 years, it'll be stuck in your
sleeve. Yeah.
Even better.
If you kill that guy, you'll go to jail.
Marilyn Manson removed his bottom 2 ribs.
Yeah,
that was another one. Yeah. So,
but he was really that kid from The Wonder Years, right? I mean, that was always the dream.
Oh, I have no idea. I was more fascinated with the Richard Gere story of the gerbil.
Oh, my dad can't pronounce gerbil.
No?
No, he says gerbil, and it's the funniest thing in the world. I don't know why I just thought of that, but it's
My grandmother says pedophile.
Oh, that's a good one.
That guy's a pedophile. What does that mean? Yeah. he gave me these shoes. They're a collaboration that Nike did with Stranger Things. They come white, and then you take like a belt sander or a torch, and you can just melt and burn all over it. And then they just stay like that. They're kind of messed up on purpose. They're great. Love the shoes. They look good. I get a lot of compliments on them. Grump. So yeah. So we started bottling single barrel rums a couple years ago.
I've had your rum.
I brought some to your house that day.
You did.
Yeah.
You
gorgeous
did.
Home, by the way.
Thank you.
So my job right now is to, and this is going to sound very romantic, but to travel the world to find good liquid. Try things, taste things, and put it into a bottle. We started with rums, 14-year-old Foursquare from Barbados, 16-year-old Guyana, and then we branched out into cognac. I've always loved cognac. It tastes like it's distilled grapes. It's very floral.
Let's do it.
21 years old, cast strength at 59.2%.
Really?
Yeah.
Damn, I didn't think you could make cognac that strong.
And we actually found out you can bottle it here. So with tequila or scotch, it has to be bottled in those countries. But in cognac in France, you can actually buy the liquid, bring it here. And this is the trick, right? So this is actually the least expensive 21-year-old Grand Champagne Cask-Strength Cognac in North America at $135 a bottle. We as a country, we charge other countries' liquids. We want to, you know, tariffs and taxes to kind of raise their. That's why Scotch is so expensive. But if you buy the liquid and have it shipped here and you bottle it here, then it's technically an American product.
Wow.
So it's cheaper than the producer we bought it from. So we signed a non-disclosure saying we wouldn't say.
What's the name?
Where we got it from.
Where'd you get it from?
I can't say that.
Okay.
Although I feel like.
I'm a lawyer. I think we can break it.
Yeah. I feel like you're the lawyer that could get me to break the NDA and then defend me in court.
We're having
win.
This is attorney-client, like, privilege.
Privilege. That's correct. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. Does that work if it's on camera? That could be an argument you make in court.
Maybe. It depends.
Yeah, because technically you can, yeah. Oh, I like this. Breaking the rules is always something that I thought, if it's possible, like for instance.
Bending the rules.
Growing
operates,
up.
Operate in shades of gray. Not those shades of gray, bro. Come on.
We'll get a few more drinks. We'll see where the day goes.
Well, tell us about, I mean, because you do Whiskey Social.
Mm-hmm.
You do the talk show for ESPN.
Yes.
And then you also, I mean, How did you start making whiskey your life? I mean, what were you doing before you were doing whiskey?
Okay, so I've told this story a lot, but I'll tell it again because I know you haven't heard it. But I was dating this girl, and her dad was not a fan of me. Mm. The whole shotgun speech, right?
Oh, yeah.
And I found out one year that he used to be a scotch drinker in the 80s. He loved scotch. So I went out and I bought a bottle of scotch and I brought it to the family Thanksgiving and I thought, I'm gonna win this son of a bitch over. And I fucking did. And I married that woman.
Wow.
And I had four kids with her.
Wow.
So
that was your first wife?
I've only been married to four kids that I know about. We got into it together. We bonded. I'm definitely the favorite son-in-law.
Nice.
And it kind of spiraled shortly after we got married. We went to Scotland and did a tour like this, what you guys have done this week, but we did 2 weeks in Ireland, Scotland. It was incredible.
And how old were you at this time?
This is 2014, 2013. So 25, 26. Now the winning her father over, that was 2010.
Mm-hmm.
We've been together 15 years. And then we got married in 2012 and then went to Scotland in 2014. It's just become, it's slowly stair-stepped, right? Like, I remember we decided we wanted to have two more kids. We had the two, the 15 and 16, 16 and 17. And we waited 10 years and we're like, let's do it again.
Oh, you're crazy.
And at the same time, I was like, I have a business idea. Let's start a whiskey festival.
Oh, and so that's how it started. Wow.
She, you know, imagine being pregnant and your husband's like, I have a very important business meeting at this bar I have to go to. And it happened like 3 or 4 times a week for a couple of years. And then, you know, the first couple of years, the event did not make a lot of money. And then we knew it could work. It was all the surprises you had to learn to adapt to. And we that led to the show on ESPN, and we're now 7 years in for the festival. And then we decided we'd like to find some cool things and put it in the bottle. The problem is that nowadays, there's not any new rare thing. A lot of it is it's getting worse and worse, or younger and younger. And so a lot of your you know, I looked at a beautiful bottle. It was $75. It was finished in wine port casks, and it was 4 years old. That's that 8 years ago, 7 years ago, everything would be 12, 15, 18, 20 years old. So I like this idea of being the one to bring some cool things to market that no one's really doing anymore. So
that's aged. I mean, this is 15 years.
15 years. Now, I say, you know, I'm giving the four-year-old a hard time, but we have a six-year-old rye that's also fantastic. I know how much of a rye fan you are.
Yeah, rye's a different animal. You can do a younger rye, and I think it's fine.
And we sourced it from the original place that Whistlepig was sourcing from. MGP.
So does it make a difference? You know, we're here in Kentucky, and they use a lot of the white oak and the stuff around here in Kentucky. Does it matter? Is that why you have different flavors and tastes when they're doing rye up in Vermont, like they are in Whistlepig?
I think in those cases, it has a lot of it's the same barrel cooperages supplying everybody. But I think the real fundamental difference is where those barrels are aged. Indiana.
Just the weather.
Yeah, Indiana's right across the river. a lot of people source from MGP. There's a great smoke wagon out in.
Dude, smoke wagon for some reason fucks me up. I don't know what's in it, but I'll have one of those. I can have like, you know, drink half a bottle of whiskey, be fine. I have like three of smoke wagon, and it's just like.
It's overwhelming.
Yeah, I don't know why. Maybe it's just something that's in there. I don't know.
It's sourced from MGP. But I think you're talking about a Nevada dry desert versus, right now it snowed last night.
Yeah, it's wild.
Texas, there's a lot of weird humidity by the Gulf, right? So I guess it depends on where it's coming from. But there is a difference. I have the rye coming your way, by the way. There will be a lot more of that in California available very soon.
I love it, man. Well, congrats to you for putting this out there. So now it's a big deal. I mean, you have these West. I mean, you do whiskey events everywhere now. You're doing your. I mean, when you were in LA the first time we met, you were doing a ton of. Well, I want to ask you this: who's the most interesting person or group of people that you interviewed? Because you did a lot of A-list celebrities and fun stuff.
I mean, Matthew McConaughey was the most nerve-wracking. William H. Macy was also right up there, nerve-wracking.
Really?
But the most fun. Oh, that's tough. It's got to be probably Sam Heughan.
Really?
Sam Heughan was fun. Outlander was great. I enjoy his. He actually knows and loves whiskey. But yeah, I mean, more interesting question: who's been a complete fucking nightmare?
Yeah.
Is a different
story.
Are
you allowed to say?
I mean, I can say. It's not like he has a publicist, but Pauly Shore was a goddamn.
Oh God! Of course, the weasel.
Yeah.
He kept like. He was trying to like ask my wife out while she was my wife. Like it was like so fucked up, and she was like, "Get the fuck out of here!" Like,
really?
Pauly Shore, yeah.
Yeah.
He would see her around like Beverly Hills, like he like relentless, the weasel.
Yeah, well, that name is fitting. I know
he was in Jury Duty. Remember that movie? That piece of shit movie.
Garbage films.
Oh yeah. Encino Man. I mean, it was fun.
Encino Man was great.
Yeah.
Let's be nice. Encino Man was great. I know we've only got a couple minutes, so I have something I wanted to give you as well before we depart. So. I'm big on whiskey in every way, right?
Yeah.
The liquid that when it goes in that bottle and that bottle is sealed, it's basically a time capsule. And
is this an Encino Man like reference?
No. Yeah. It's a nice segue, right? Oh, time capsule. So I went and I tracked down a bottle from your birth year.
No shit.
Yeah. So from 1980.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look
yeah.
at that.
So this bottle.
It's just like sitting next. Is it Fireball?
No, it's not Fireball. Awesome. I don't think Fireball's been around that long. So it's a bottle of Cabin Still from 1980. It's still sealed, tax seal intact, tax seal still intact.
Wow.
And you know the liquid has been sitting in this glass
since I was born.
You were born, and you've accomplished a lot. So it's weird to see this like sealed and then potentially opened on your show. I wanted to get that to you.
Oh man.
And I figured.
Where did you find this? It's here in Louisville.
No, not in Louisville. You can, there's a couple of auction sites, Sotheby's, there's a couple overseas ones. So I figured we could share a pour from your birth year.
Wow. Just from that smell, like it smells like when I lost my virginity.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all coming.
Oh, it smells like sadness? It smells like apologies?
Oh man, this is gonna be fun.
Here, buddy. Cheers. Everything you've accomplished in the past.
42 years, man.
42 years.
42 years. This does smell good. I'll give it to
you. I hope it's good. It's light. It's 90
proof.
It's
very light. It doesn't have any bite.
Talk about drinking half a
whole
bottle.
Yeah. You can drink the whole bottle and be fine.
This
is good.
I'm very happy
with
it.
This is good.
Yeah, so this this brand in particular is very, very old. There's a lot of history behind it.
Cabin Still.
Yeah, so fun fact, the Surgeon General warning, the pregnancy warning on the back of the bottles, didn't start really being kicked in until about 89, actually, I think. I think it's. I always confuse the barcode thing. So if there's no barcode on the bottle and there's no Surgeon General's warning on the bottle, then you know it's pre-85.
Wow.
And this one actually has on the front, it tells you what year it was bottled. So 1980. Cheers,
it's
man.
It's got a good color to it, too.
Yeah, yeah.
This is very good.
Well, thanks for having me on, man. And thanks for, we're going to do a swap cast. I'm going to air this. We'll find a way. Let's do the intro too after we're done.
Yeah.
But dude, this has been fun. It's been
this
a great
has been
week.
Good.
Your team is incredible. Teresa's been fantastic.
I mean, Teresa, who runs Outlier Creative Agency, does all of our production for everything, the conferences to the creative stuff that we do on social and otherwise, is the best. She actually, they just won the Golden Gavel Award, which is like a big deal. So in the like legal world, there's a lot of people that do high production, people that are paying millions and millions of dollars to do like these commercials and these mass tort stuff, and they have these production companies. And Teresa's team was the first year they were up, and they're a very small company, and they won this award. Like, it's a big deal to win that, the Golden Gavel for it. And they beat some dogs that are, I mean, they have like $50 million spends for their, to do this stuff. And here they are just doing the new different way of doing creative. And
more social production. Media focused.
Correct. But this high level production without having to pay the bloat that these other people do. Like, it's just whatever.
It seems like all of the best, most like, whether you're a lawyer or media production or photos, the bloat is there for sure.
Oh, yeah.
We got quotes to kind of relaunch a brand we were working on.
Yeah, it's dumb.
And it was like $20,000 for three videos, and they're 30-second videos.
It's like, come on.
Do you realize how long it's going to take to recoup that in sales?
But they don't think about that. They just charge because they think this, you know. But people, you could shoot that with your iPhone and do pretty good quality, right? And that's what actually gets most pull and attention off of social media, is stuff you're just shooting on your own rather than the highly produced stuff.
Yeah, well, in their defense, I think it's a little bit of a balance, right? Like, there's so many years. I used to, one of the first companies I started at 16 was a wedding photography business.
What?
And it was soul draining. And there were so many gigs you were underpaid or did as a favor. And so you finally get to a point where your company is producing cinema quality product and you deserve to be paid for it. And then you're like, all right, I'd like to get paid a little more and a little more. So there's a balance of like, okay, the many, many years of being underpaid and the few years of being way overpaid, it's a balance. But I
still got to have the entry point price for folks that are starting
of course.
To grow with them. That's what I see.
I agree with you completely.
Yeah. Well, Chris, thanks for coming on. And we want to learn your bourbon of proof. What is your proof level that you like to have your whiskey
sip? Oh, buddy. What? That's the easiest question I've ever... You know, they say there's no dumb questions. Cask strength, baby.
Nice.
Listen, when it comes out of the barrel, you know, it spends 15 years in the barrel, 10 years in the barrel, 5 years in the barrel. The barrel decides what proof it comes out. Who am I to add water to it?
Wow, so altruistic.
Or an ice cube or, you know. And that being said, drink what you like. But for me personally, there's something romantic about it coming out of the barrel, straight from the barrel.
I can see why you won over your father-in-law.
Yeah.
Well, Chris, thanks for coming on. We appreciate it. To your bourbon approved, my friend.
Thanks so much.
Cheers, bro. Ching, ching.